From the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on this good, great planet Earth that God has given us, good evening and thank you for joining me for the webcast. I'm sorry, but that just ain't in the Bible, nowhere. I know you was taught that it was there, but it ain't there. I've never seen it. I don't know where it's come from. Well, how do you come up with these cantankerous definitions, John, of the scriptures, when most of the people that you know don't? Nah. Well, I'll shut off the music there. Right. John, how can you ascribe to a teaching that most people in the church do not ascribe to? That's why when I say adamantly, I'm sorry, but that's not in the Bible. And I want to share a couple of these issues. And I want to thank some of the students that I have this semester for being so intuitive and challenging me to answer some questions. You know, when you talk about the dualistic view of human nature, you're talking about humans that are material and immaterial bodies. That's one of the things that I talk about in Philosophy 1. And those of you that have been educated in that area knows what that means. Meaning that we are, let's see the way, how did Rene put it? Rene Descartes, he put it this way. He said that if we are immaterial creatures, that people are totally mind without the body. Mind without the body, and the mind could rule the day, he would say. But we are mind and body creatures. And so the material blends in with the immaterial. But when it comes to the mind, most of the times when it comes to religion, people kind of shut their minds off. And they allow a good, I call it a ballistic characteristic of human nature, which is love, because it's a powerful tool. Powerful tool. Especially when used in its appropriate manner. Love. Now, when this love is manifested on all levels, when it comes down to the issue that we're talking about, what's in the Bible, you want love to carry you through that. You want love to display to you, to communicate with you what God is saying, what is true about God. Not some traditional kind of religious rigmarole, but what God has said. I recall when I was a young Sunday school teacher, and I would read in the Southern Baptist Sunday school literature, and I'm not coming against that whole Southern Baptist thing, because during the time that I grew up in, unfortunately, I believed some of that stuff. And it was quite extraordinary. One of the things were that we were to teach a young child, a young boy, more specifically, I know that it happens everywhere, but to teach the children not to masturbate, because masturbation is a sin. I'm sorry, but that's not in the Bible anywhere. And I've been waiting on somebody to give me a proper scripture and verse for that, and somebody started talking about owning, wasting his seed or something like that. That can't be attributed to that. Maybe I didn't say his name right. Something like that. Because what I find a lot of people that are religious doing is they use the Bible as an offensive tool rather than as a defensive tool. And as an apologist, I stand in defense of the Bible. I don't stand to try to push it, to push its my opinion on its statement about itself. I can't do that. The Bible is a powerful book, very powerful book. Nor am I saying that I'm the smartest man in the world that knows all that it teaches, but some of the things that I've been taught in my homespun religion, it just ain't in the Bible. And, you know, sometimes when I speak with some of these youngsters in the college that are very fine Christian moral people, I might add, they ask me questions about things, and I'm saying, but I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. Well, where did it come from? It came from religion. It came from what they do to keep you in their grasp. Okay, so I was told, you know, teach these boys that they shouldn't masturbate. And I never taught them that. I said that this is what I told them when I was teaching in Sunday school back in the day. I taught them that. I know masturbation is a normal thing to do. I do it. We do it. We all do it. And it feels good. And the little boys in that little junior high school class said, yeah. And I said, well, let's leave that alone. Let's go on to the next thing. I couldn't find it in my heart to tell them not to do that. Because boys in every culture, boys in every religion, boys around the world. Now, where did this boys doing that start from? It started from when the first boys were on the planet. If you want to get more specific, Adam and Eve's first children and the rest of them, all boys, most boys, masturbate. Yeah, it's not. But in the Christian religion, if a teenage boy masturbates, he can go to hell. I'm sorry, but that's just not in the Bible anywhere. That's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. He who created me. Listen. Because, see, you can't find a verse of Scripture in the Bible anywhere for that. You can't find it. It's not there. Look, I haven't tried. It doesn't make any sense for God to have said something like that, since he put in us that drive. One of the strongest drives, besides eating and surviving, is passionate expression sexually. It's there. So to tell somebody, even if they are quote unquote saved, whatever that is implied, I know what it means to be saved. I was saved when Christ called me in August of 1967. I didn't get saved in no church. So I don't know what they're talking about. That is something completely different from what I'm talking about. See, when I came in contact with God, it wasn't through nobody laying no hands on me, talking to me, spitting up bubbles and tongues, you know, creating Cracker Jack sandwiches and nothing like that. No. Just a voice shouting in my head in the midst of me going somewhere with my buddies to get high. That is what God did to me in August of 1967. See, this preacher would tell you and speak truth to you because he has absolutely nothing to hide. But when a preacher would tell you that as a normal human being, a boy growing up, that if you touch yourself and it feels exciting, and for God for sake, because mama don't know how to explain it, because mama can't even explain having the little boy. But I'll leave that one alone too. Because you see, most of the time in religion, the people that does most of the screaming against these dirty sinners, quote unquote, you sure enough don't even want to look into those lives. You just don't. You don't. And so when somebody say, but excuse me, that's not in the Bible, I would reckon that you should pay a little attention to them. Because if they're trying to deface God and they said that they would never disgrace God, why would they speak of this like this of God? Because it's either true, okay, and they know it, and they would never, ever, ever use God as a bad rep in any way. Because if God gave a command for boys or teenagers or whatnot not to touch themselves, I need to see that command from the Word of God. I haven't been shown that. But how many boys have been scared into trauma by that nonsense taught by the evangelical Christian church for years, and thereby teaching that because they had a problem with keeping their underwear on? The persons that taught that foolishness. It's not in the Bible. If you don't want your children to have sexual relations with other people, just tell them, I don't want you as my child to do that. I told my daughters that. I told them, until you get to a marital age or an age where you're grown and you can do what you want to do and you will not be having any sexual contact. And it was my right to do that as a parent. Now, some may say, well, since they were born of you, it's not your right to do that because the minute that they were born, they were independent agents. Yeah, I know, but Coleman was stamped on everything that they were agentized by me. So as a parent, I deal with my child as a parent would deal with this child. And if I had a son, and if I saw that he were doing that, or just heard it as I passed by his room, I would just smile and probably say, make sure you have some Kleenex there, boy. And I'd expect my son to say, okay, daddy, because it's normal. It's normal. I'm not going to run in there and see what he's doing while he is exciting himself. And I will sit down and take the time and tell him that as a young man, if you excite yourself too often, you can hurt yourself down there. And when it comes time for you to reproduce and to be a father of a family, you may have difficulty. So don't mess up the good thing that God has given you. You see, that's the way you talk with the boy. But you don't tell him that if he masturbates, he's going to bust tail wide open. That's a lie. I'm sorry. That is not in the Bible. Well, let me talk about something else. Because, you know, we hear these people come up with this, with the most silliest, fantastic, oh my gosh. They take a scripture that I don't know who these people are giving these people the meanings of these texts. And then when you ask them, had they ever heard of what exegesis is, they would think that it's the name of a street or something. Just terrible. Well, the one that sparked this entire website was, I'm a grown man, right? My woman passed away. It doesn't make any difference how many years I had her or how many years she passed away. My woman, meaning that I had a woman. All right, for those of you that want me to get more technical, a wife. I had a wife. And my wife went to be with God somewhere in the universe. Heaven is what some call it. I don't know what heaven is like. Do you know? No, nobody knows. So I said somewhere where God would have her. Now you may call it heaven. I may call it, I don't know what to call it. All I know is I believe that my wife was a good woman. Not a hypocrite, godly woman, but she was a good woman. And God saw that good. And I think that after her spirit left this body, that she went somewhere to be with God, somewhere. I just want to believe that, you know? Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But what if I got a little feisty to be with a woman? Is that okay? Is that okay for me to look at a woman and feel tremendous passion? Even more so than the passion that I even have with my wife, because it's so alien to me. Well, that's normal, John. That's a good thing. I want to hear that. And John, keep right. And then, you know, but you should think about marrying her, John. Marrying her. Hold it. I didn't say anything about I wanted another 34 years. I had that with Lucy. I had marriage with my wife that I love, that I knew. I don't know this woman. I just want to rub up against her, touch her, to feel her, to experience her as a male on a female. Now, wait a minute. Y'all need to listen to me and stop jumping to the gun. You know I ain't going crazy. I'm about to tell you what. I'm sorry, but that ain't in the Bible. It isn't. What I just said is not in the Bible. Show me where I just said by rubbing up against a female and jostling around with her is not in the Bible. You're a lie. It is in the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. I'm not even going to embarrass myself and quote a verse. If you've read the book, you know that it's full of that. The book is full of people sleeping with people, reproducing with people, loving people, even women asking the older women, what do I do to get this man? And the older women in the Bible telling the younger women, go on, lay down. His bed is over there. Just lay at his feet. He'll tell you what to do. That's in the Bible. That's where it need to be done. Who's it talking about? I got to be remarried because I want to. What? Who made that up? Oh, sometimes I hear these church women talk. It's pathetic. Oh, honey, I don't know what you're messing with that man for. What you messing with that man for? For any woman to ask another woman, why is she dillying and dallying with the man, that woman cannot be a mature human being. You know why that woman is with that man. She's with that man the way any man would be with a woman, because everybody's going to do that. God created us to do that. Since God created us to do that, naturally we're going to be drawn to people. No, you think that I'm talking about just out fornicating everybody can do. I didn't say that. If you listen to what I'm saying, instead of jumping to conclusions, you see, and that's what they've taught you to do in the church. What is he saying? Especially you educated Bibletrons. You don't have to try to catch me in a lie. I will never defame God. I defame ignorance and stupidity from those pulpits that say that they are driven by God. But this pastor knows that they are driven by something else. To those of you that are critical of my discourse today, this pastor knows what you're all about. You're about protecting the castle. Well, no, I'm about breaking into it and tearing it down at its roots. Because when I was there doing what you were doing, I expected you to be doing and saying what I was doing and saying. You weren't. You were busy pimping. You were busy trying to grow. Now, do you think that God has removed his charge from me to speak for him? He has not. Because when God called me, I have always been faithful to tell the truth. I'm sorry, but that's just not in the Bible. Well, John, what about the parable? No, I got another parable for you. There was a parable, I believe, that Jesus gave to the disciples when the disciples asked him a question about what if a woman married two brothers and both of the brothers died and didn't give seed to the woman, which or something like that. So Jesus gave, now let me think about that and get that, because Jesus gave the scenario. He gave that scenario, and he said that what if there were a man that had seven sons, and the first son married the woman, and he died and didn't give seed. So the second son had to marry her, and he took up residence with the woman. And he died, and she couldn't take a seat. This happened all the way down to the seven brothers, and all seven brothers died without giving human seed to the woman to have a child. And so the disciples were asking Jesus, in heaven, who's going to be her husband? Which one of the seven? Now, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, they are neither married or given in marriage in heaven. They will be as the angels. So what you talking about? I'm going to be with my wife in heaven. That's not true. None of us are going to probably see our loved ones again in heaven. Jesus said that we're going to be as the angels. That's in the Bible. No, hold on. What do you think he meant by that? See, you never thought about that. I thought about it when I first read it. That's why when people say, John, what is heaven going to be like? I don't know, man. Do you believe that we will be made as the angels if we are found right with God at the end of our earthly life? Now, how are the angels? I don't know fully. They have access. They are messengers of God. And I don't think that's a bad job. Quiet is kept. I kind of like the sound of it already. Yay. See? So, can you think of another one that's not in the Bible? There are so many, many religious traditions. Oh, man, even to the women wearing makeup. I recall when I first became a Christian, after God has spoken to my heart, and I thought that I was going into an organization where everyone was going to be like the sweet, beautiful voice of God to my heart that sprung nothing but joy forth all the time. Now, I did have a few moments like that, a few moments with a very few individuals. But most of the ones that I met in the church during my latter years of pastoring it, well, that was one of the causes of my only heart attack. Is doing that. I told you I did not want that. Mine was a calling. I did what I was supposed to do and am doing it. This webcast is just to inform you that this stuff that they've told you, most of this stuff that they are the people that run these religious organizations. You know, I haven't heard one person. This is going to be good. I haven't heard one person call, write, or try to tell me that my estimate, not guesstimate, but estimate of the church is wrong. Not one person has tried to tell me that I'm wrong. And simply put, the reason that they can't do it because they know that I'm right. And it would be illogical for them to even show their hand, because those of you, or could it be that those of you that are under the seduction of these liars need someone to constrain you like that? Well, you can remain in the cave if you want. I don't want to be constrained. I've always been a free thinking man, and free thinking men think free. That's all I say on that one right now. Oh, I was just trying to think of another incident that it's not in the Bible. They pick on women's makeup. And the definition of holy, I think I was talking about that the other day. Be ye holy as I am holy, God says. When you look at the word, it says, be separate as I'm separate. Set yourselves apart as I have set myself apart. Now, do you know how God has really set himself apart? The answer is no. You know nothing to that nature of how God does anything like that for him. Just the thought of him is beyond the concept of your mind. But you know how you can set yourself apart, don't you? Well, yeah, set yourself apart from that. That's going to cause you difficulty. That's going to cause you lack of loving God, lack of fellowship with God, lack with favor from God. Set yourself apart from that. And dag nabbit, if you did that, you'd stay out of all kind of trouble. I tried to tell someone, I said, you know, I asked this question. And I think this is the million-dollar question. Okay, you want to get married and you're in the church and you grow up in the church and you've been in the church your whole life and that's a wonderful thing. And you didn't have sex and everything and then you fell in love with this person. And you and the person never had discussions about each other's private sexual moments, intimacies, and all that. You've never had a discussion because in your religious circle, they didn't allow that kind of talk between a young man and a young woman. They just wouldn't. and don't worry about it because gay people discuss it all the time. It's just the straight people that's walking around ain't telling nobody who they've been sleeping with. All right, so you marry this woman. And you're getting ready for it to be fireworks. You know what I'm talking about. You've been waiting on this your whole life. I mean, you stop masturbating. You stop everything. And then you're waiting on that. And then you came on across to her like gangbusters. Scared that poor girl half to death. She had no idea that life was of this magnitude. And went home to mama that night. And you just stayed there saying, what happened? Now you see how important these discussions are. Because if it ain't in the Bible, so why would somebody raise it to give pretense that it is in the Bible if they're not doing anything but trying to confuse you or control you? And something in life normally takes place. And when you meet a person and you like a person and then you grow to love that person and that person in turn grows to love you back, then the natural happenstance takes place between you and that person. If you're old enough to make a decision to file your taxes and to do all this other stuff that grown people do, surely you can choose the person that you want to spend your time with. Now, who does that have to meet the approval of? We hope that it meets the approval of the people, but if it doesn't, who have you and her getting together? Whose approval do we have to meet in order to get this together? Well, the answer is no one's but yours. If you're a young person and you want to follow a teaching a doctrine, okay, know that you know where that doctrine came from, and also know that you know how to define what that doctrine is. Like one student told me about a year ago in one of the classes, and it was very plain, says, why would you join an organization in which you know nothing about? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. And then what they say, I'm going to give you another one that ain't in the Bible. They say, oh, baby, just have faith. That's all you need is faith. No, that's ridiculous. That's me refusing to engage my mind and think. Refusing to think why you don't want me to think. That's a better way to put that. Why in the heck does this person does not want me to think when thinking is what keeps me stabilized here? I was having a discussion with my daughter and we were talking about impression or when someone is impressionable. And she says, you know, Daddy, when we went to church with you every Sunday morning, we were impressed with your sincerity, that you really believed it. And she said that she and her sister and their mother spoke about it as they were teenagers. They were saying, he really believes that. Because they were at an age where they could see other ministers and other things that were going on television, that they didn't believe it, and they saw right through what a charlatan is. Both of my daughters, they know what a charlatan is. But I don't trust women that much, and my daughters are women, so beware. But they know what a charlatan is. They knew that I was not a charlatan. Nah. I have nothing to gain from lying to you. There may be one thing that I want from you, and I won't tell you because you won't like me anymore. But I will never tell you what that is. But really, all the other things, I don't want from you. I don't want anything from anyone. But to love that person and to show that person what love is, and to say to them that the expectation of you loving others is just as rich as it is in me loving you. And that's the beauty. That is the beauty of communicating. Oh, yes, it's beautiful. I see a couple walking down the middle of the street with their kid in their hands because it's been so hot in Los Angeles that tonight is the first coolest evening. And it's like a cool breeze blowing in off of an iceberg in the Lucy Coleman studio. And a family walking with their child down the street in the coolness. It's wonderful. In the middle of South Central Los Angeles. How do we share God with those people? Maybe by thanking God that they can be safe on your street as they walk down the street. And loving them and praying that God will sustain them and grow their baby up and so that he can walk down maybe this same street with his child. I think that if a person comes to God with a disposition like that, where you can love your neighbor, not knowing their name, but seeing them enjoy the Pacific breeze off of the coast, because when that breeze comes in off of the Pacific, Doc Wiley Beach is what I'm talking about. I feel it all the way over here. I smell it. It's fresh. It's God. That's why I would implore you, you know, if you can enjoy God on that level and enjoy people on that level, without other people, wait a minute, castigating you as negative because you enjoy life. And know this, that everybody doesn't enjoy life. I was talking to a friend of mine about that. I was talking with you about it yesterday about that half black, half white boy that got shot, I think, in Utah. I was talking with another young man that had a roommate, and he went back to his, he's from a state like that, and he's half white and half black. And he told me what this guy told him. He said, this guy told me that the white policeman in that state said, we don't want you half breeds here. And some people in his family had been harassed by these policemen. And the boy was here, really just trying to get away. And he told my friend, I can't go back there because as they kill some other people in my family, they get me too. Because in certain states, they don't appreciate. You guys got to hear me on this. They don't believe in crossbreeding. They don't believe in that. When Lucy and I drove across the country, 1990, I believe it was, when we got into Nebraska, people looked at us like they'd never seen an Asian woman Oh, they looked at me and then they looked at her. They were trying to figure, well, is she white? Is she what? My wife just said, John, hurry up and get the gas. Let's get out of here. Crazy looking people. And that was in 1990. Oh, there's a solution for all this stuff, people. The solution for all this stuff is what I've been proclaiming for my whole pastoral life. Love. A God of love came to me in August of 1967. He implored me to speak for him. I'm doing it. I recall Johnny B. Reese, a pastor that preached at my installation as a pastor. The sermon is somewhere on my website here, where Johnny B. Reese tells me and my dear wife Lucy the pain that we had to go before us. I had no idea. I was just so happy to be around a whole group of people that love God. And that old man told me, he's dead now, and that old man told me, he said, some of these very people here will break your heart. I had no idea what he was talking about. You think if I did, I would have taken that position? Well, I probably would have, because I was constrained by God to speak the truth. And the internet had not been discovered in my mind as of yet. See, that's why I tell people I don't need another physical pulpit. I have one right here. Right here. And people go to it every day and they listen to an old, mature, 70-year-old black man rambling in the Lucy Coleman studio. Don't you think that? You better listen to what this rambling rose is saying. God is demanding of his species that he created respect and love. And if we don't respect and love him, he is not going to respect us. You know, you notice I didn't, I have never seen in the Bible where God says, I hate you. You may see in the writ he says, I hate those that do this or those that do that. This is talking about a group, but I'm talking about where God says specifically, if you ever read in the Bible, where God was speaking about, and don't try to use Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, because that word hate is not the same term that I'm using for hate in the English language. That was a Hebrew term. And it doesn't mean what you thinking. So don't use that. But can you give me one verse in the Bible where God says that he hated someone and had to destroy them and smash them? Can you show me the verse? By the way, that ain't in the Bible either. Because I don't know what God you're talking about. And don't be talking about God hates Satan and all that, because God created Satan. You supposed to hate Satan. See, God knows that Satan is a joke, is a counterfeit. And I believe that if God would speak with us, he would say, I believe that you're a counterfeit too, people. You say that you love me. You say that you want to obey me and adore what I tell you, but in your heart, you really do not want to do that. So God is making of us a demand tonight. And we can go all night talking about it's not in the Bible and yes, it is, and no, it isn't, and all of that. But that wouldn't serve too much of a purpose. I think I did exactly what I wanted to do. Just to let you know this, that, and let me answer the question. No, I was not talking about freebase fornicating with people that love God. I said that if somebody says, come here, I want to give you a hug. Somebody said that to me at the college today. They said, Mr. Coleman, come here and let me give you a hug. and I let them give me a hug. It was great. I shouldn't have to answer to anybody why I was hugging anybody. And if anybody had seen me hugging someone and said, "What are you doing hugging that person?" I would say, "First of all, I'm going to say this one time to you." This is me answering. "First of all, I'm going to say this one time to you. You need to get the heck up out my face right now, because your breath stink and your attitude does too." Now, there it is. See? And that's what some people in the church remind me of. They try to play the police in your life. You don't need nobody playing police in your life. I think that God can police me far better than anybody else can. You let me get out of line with him. You let me procure something that he didn't say. You let me turn against him. And I'm not talking about blaspheming with no minor stuff. You let me give out a major blasphemy of God and then let me try to get in my bed and go to sleep and close my eyes. I know where I'd wake up. I'm not about to do that. I want to implore those of you that listen to me to listen to the Word of God as he speaks to you, as you weigh every single thing that someone tells you that God said in the Bible. Because if you look very closely at some of these things, it is not there. Even to the wearing of clothes. That wasn't for all the people that live on the planet. That was for the nomadic tribe that was traveling, God's children, in the wilderness. Did he tell everybody else not to wear those kind of clothes? People was wearing other kind of clothes all over the world. They still wearing clothes like that. You can go to some parts of the Middle East, some parts of Africa. People still wear little dresses draped around them. We the only ones around here trying to keep up with the fashion plate. But that's a horse of another color, isn't it? Yeah. I will admit, I spend too much money on clothes. Too much. And I will admit, I don't even need anything. So that makes me a consumer. See, now that makes me a non-perfect person. And I can admit it. I can say it to you because I know who I am. I'm not ashamed of who I am. If that's bad for me, I need to cut out spending money. And the way to do that is to spend it on things that are more valuable, to help other people get along. That to me is living a rich and full life. Well, all right, I hope that answered the question, and I want to thank my students for challenging me to look into the Word. God bless you. See you next time.